B-Pod Studios.
Toucher, Rich, Wallach, and you.
Dan, go ahead.
What could possibly go wrong?
Fred, you are infuriating.
It's Toucher and Rich.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Rich, we are giving the people entertainment. I mean, that you cannot deny. There is a lot of entertainment going around. Perhaps we'll be joined by Paul Schaefer or Tommy Chong.
I mean, that show is the best. You really got to watch it. And you know what? Just YouTube the reveals, because you should just look at what they think it's going to be and what it ends up being.
I just found one, and you two would appreciate this. Chris Daughtry is one of the reviews.
Are you kidding
no.
me?
I mean, no, see, apparently he was the runner-up last season.
Is it Steven Tyler? Oh, man. John Bon Jovi. Hi. Bono. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Daughtry.
Yes, Chris Daughtry.
His career seems to have stalled a little bit.
I'm coming home. That dude got offered to be the frontman for Fuel and said no. Like, in his big heyday, it was like, yeah, you know, a band that has, like, a ton of hits. Now, obviously, they're not anything really right now. But, I mean, that's Daughtry right there. Ladies and gentlemen, your Masked Singer, the fifth place person on season 3 of American Idol. Congratulations.
I can't sell out and join Fuel. I gotta stay true to the Daughtry name.
It's Anne from Temptation Island season 3. Woo!
That seems like big.
Is it too big. Is it Beyonce? It's got to be Hillary Clinton. It's the mom from Family Matters.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Toucher, Rich, Wallach, and you.
Dan, go ahead.
What could possibly go wrong?
Fred, you are infuriating.
It's Toucher and Rich.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich.
And, Rich, we are giving the people entertainment. I mean, that you cannot deny. There is a lot of entertainment going around. Perhaps we'll be joined by Paul Schaefer or Tommy Chong.
I mean, that show is the best. You really got to watch it. And you know what? Just YouTube the reveals, because you should just look at what they think it's going to be and what it ends up being.
I just found one, and you two would appreciate this. Chris Daughtry is one of the reviews.
Are you kidding
no.
me?
I mean, no, see, apparently he was the runner-up last season.
Is it Steven Tyler? Oh, man. John Bon Jovi. Hi. Bono. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Daughtry.
Yes, Chris Daughtry.
His career seems to have stalled a little bit.
I'm coming home. That dude got offered to be the frontman for Fuel and said no. Like, in his big heyday, it was like, yeah, you know, a band that has, like, a ton of hits. Now, obviously, they're not anything really right now. But, I mean, that's Daughtry right there. Ladies and gentlemen, your Masked Singer, the fifth place person on season 3 of American Idol. Congratulations.
I can't sell out and join Fuel. I gotta stay true to the Daughtry name.
It's Anne from Temptation Island season 3. Woo!
That seems like big.
Is it too big. Is it Beyonce? It's got to be Hillary Clinton. It's the mom from Family Matters.
All right, Rich. We are doing a retrospective of some of our great moments as a show.
That's right. Our bracket that isn't a bracket. It's the TNR Best Moments bracket. And we were taking suggestions, and here's one that a listener suggested. I love this one, too. This is I'd say this is a top five for me, too. I love this one. So sometimes we recruit members of our station to help us out with certain things. And in this case, we look no further than our midday show and one of his coworkers. Let's let it roll.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. What do we have here, Rich? This is something I don't know about.
Yes, we're going to play a quick game. Now, everyone obviously loves the Patriots preseason. Everyone's a huge fan of those games. Packed houses every game you go to down there at Gillette. So we're going to play a quick game called How Closely Did You Pay Attention to the Patriots Preseason? So what we're going to do is let's get our caller up.
All right.
Actually, as Adolfo labeled him, he's our constant.
Okay. He's constantly around.
Yes, not the contestant. Rob, you are our constant today. Good morning, Rob.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, good. All right, Rob. So here's what's going to happen is we are going to play you a clip of our own Bob Soucy and Scott Zolak, who, of course, are the play-by-play and color commentators for the Patriots here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And you just have to tell us whether that is an actual play-by-play clip from the preseason or it is not, okay? It's that simple.
Sounds good enough.
All right, Rob, let us start with clip number one.
Shotgun snap to Garoppolo. He's dropping back. He's firing down the left sideline. His receiver got behind the defender. Dobson makes the catch off his right hip, falling into the end zone for a touchdown for the Patriots.
Perfect pocket. And Jimmy just has the ability to hit that back foot again, Bob.
Okay, was that from the preseason or not from the preseason?
That was definitely preseason.
Ah, you were correct.
I actually remember that.
Mm-hmm. That was a very good, Dobson had a very good preseason, as a matter of fact.
Well, either they had a good game, that's mm-hmm. for sure.
That's right. All right, is this clip from the preseason or not?
Brady's in the gun. He has the snap. He throws it deep to Julian Edelman. Edelman goes down, and Zoe looks like he got hit right in the fart box.
Oh, my God, man. I've seen it time and time again. In today's National Football League, you just can't target the fart box the way you used to.
Oh, that's going to be a fine and a penalty right there.
It's a ripper. Bob, I'm telling you, there was this one time in college when I was at Maryland, I almost ripped my fart box to shreds. The only thing that hurts worse than tearing my fart box is bruising my stink trumpet.
And there it is. 25-yard pass. Penalty. Of course, a new point of emphasis this year, a legal hit to the fart box.
There's a certain amount of sympathy for Rich that I think we're going to be able to get people to do things they normally would not do. So this is good. I'm glad you're taking advantage of this.
It's good to be back.
Hey, and if you didn't know, Rich wrote that one.
Hey, guys, I got to go. My limo's here.
All right, Rob, we're just assuming you knew that was not from the preseason.
That's right, of course.
Well,
you know.
I don't remember hearing that clip. I'm going to go with that was not preseason.
Yeah, yeah, that was not.
Hey, guys, I got to go.
Yeah, that's right, of course. There,
he got hit right in the fart box.
Yes, of course. All right, let's go to the next clip. Is this from the Patriots preseason or not?
Brady off the shotgun step. Looks left, fires left. Back shot to throw to Tompkins. Falling over at the pylon for a Patriots touchdown.
Textbook. Fade, stop. It has amazed me for the last 2 weeks to read the criticisms of number 85, Kembrell Tompkins.
Okay, is that from the preseason or not?
Yes, that was preseason.
Yes, you are correct about that.
It's time to start talking about unicorns and show ponies.
All right, is this from the preseason or not?
Brady's in the gun, waiting on the snap. He has it. Fires out to his left. The ball's caught with an 11-yard touchdown pass to Shane Vereen.
Hey, Bob, I'm going to pick you up, and I'm going to eat you. That's right. I'm going to eat you whole, and I'm going to pass you through my digestive system. I'm so excited. Damn, I feel like a woman.
That is not preseason.
Oh, you're correct. Yes,
that is. Nuts.
Yes, of course it is, as a matter of fact.
I'm going to eat you whole, and I'm going to pass you through my digestive system.
I could see him getting that excited.
I could actually see him saying that to Bob Soucy.
Send that to me every other day. Are you kidding me?
Yes, I could see him saying that to him, but maybe not during the actual broadcast, but on the air.
Mm-hmm. All right, is this from the preseason or not?
It's 3rd and 7 for the Pats. Two receivers to the right, one to the left in a tight formation. Brady swings the pass right with Vereen on the run to the 25-20. Vereen in a foot race. He's on his way to the end zone. He has a Patriots touchdown.
Phenomenal timing by the quarterback.
Okay, Rob, was that preseason or not?
Yes, it was. It was a nice 40-yard touchdown by Vereen.
You're correct. Yes, you are. All right, is this next clip from the preseason or not?
We're 30 seconds until kickoff on the 98.5 of the Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network, and surprisingly, no one has seen Bill Belichick.
This is crazy, Bob. I mean, he's the first guy that's always on the field, ready to go. First guy to have his team ready. Oh, my God, what the hell is that?
All the lights have just gone off in Gillette Stadium. Wait a minute. There's now one lone spotlight shining on an older gentleman who looks to be dressed as Superman. He's now sliding down some zip line from the 300 section as Living on a Prayer begins to play over the loudspeakers.
It's like Richie Sambora. Look out, Bob. It looks like Bill Belichick has got Bon Jovi.
Unreal. Bill has now landed onto a stage with exploding pyro and smoke. Gigantic letters behind him flashing Kiss My Ring. Get to crack a smile.
This is great, Bob Belichick. Play some Sugar on Me.
What?
Play
some Sugar on Me?
Play some Sugar on Me.
Okay. Yeah.
Best part is when he starts talking about it, so it goes, nice!
Like he's envisioning it happening. Nice! He's getting very excited.
All right, is that from the preseason or not from the preseason?
That should have been preseason.
Yeah, that would have been the greatest preseason moment of all time. Yeah.
It is. It's something we've always fantasized about, and now it looks like Jovi ain't buying the team in Buffalo, but we could have had moments like that, and now they've been ripped away.
I'm so excited. Yes. Damn, I feel like a woman.
Okay. Finally, is this from the preseason or not? Here we go.
And a completion to Kenbrell Tompkins, and the Patriots have a first down.
Hey, Bob, you getting a weird feeling right now?
Yeah, Zell. How did you know?
Like something standing close behind you. Like we're trying to work here. I mean, it's a tight studio, but it feels like somebody's breathing right over my neck.
No kidding.
Hey, I'm not bothering you guys, am I?
Shut up, Wallach.
Yeah, shut up, Wallach.
Hey, give me back my lunch money.
Yeah. I hit Capella in the face trying to high-five Bob because dork Wallach's here.
Jerks.
Okay, is that something that really happened the preseason or not?
No.
Okay. Actually, not in the preseason, but it happened during a Bruins broadcast.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, of course it did.
Yeah. Yes,
hey,
that is, of course, known
hey,
as...
I'm not bothering you guys, am I?
Shut up, Wallach!
That is, of course, known as Wallaching, standing where you don't belong. All right, Rob, thank you so much for the time. I'm sure we have a wonderful prize we can give you. I'll put you on hold. And, Rich, what do I have here?
Okay, this is, by the way, Bob Soucy and Scott Zolak, thank you very much for recording that during the breaks of the Patriots game this past Thursday. Wasn't easy for Scott Zolak to do a quite simple read. Let's take a listen to some of the outtakes, shall we?
We shall.
Brady's in the gun. He has the snap. He throws it deep to Julian Edelman. Oh, Edelman goes down, and so it looks like he got hit right in the fart box.
Oh, my God, man. I've seen it time and time again. In today's National Football League, you just can't target the fart box the way you used to. I'm so sick of it.
Oh, that's going to be a fine and a penalty right there.
It's a ripper. Bob, I want to tell you a story. I once tore my fart. Bob, there's one time in college where I almost tore my fart box, and I'm telling you, the only thing that hurts worse than ripping your fart box is bruising. Oh, I'm supposed to be so professional.
I'm crying.
Where's Mike Pine and Mike Callahan? I want Mike Pine and Mike Callahan. Right. Bob, I'm telling you. Here we go. Bob, I'm telling you, there was this one time in college where I almost tore my fart box, and the only... Me. I'm sweating like a... Oh, Jesus. Hold on. All right, we got to get through this. All right. Bob, I'm telling you, there was this one time in college when I was at Maryland, I almost tore my fart box. The only thing that hurts worse than tearing your fart box is bruising your stink...
Oh. 25-yard penalty. Of course, a new point of emphasis this year. A legal hit to the fart box.
What a screw job. Oh, great. Right. What is wrong with
God.
Rich is sick. Sick in the head.
No kidding.
Yes, you knew that was penned by Rich. Several references to farts in a row.
I couldn't wait to get back.
It was good to have you back. So they were doing that during the breaks?
I think they did it immediately beforehand. Yeah, like before. Because you could hear the crowd in the background. I mean, that's really them doing it.
Wow.
From the booth.
I'm going to eat you whole, and I'm going to pass you through my digestion system.
Well, very good. Good to have you back, Rich. And thank you very much to Soucy and to Zolak for getting that done for us.
I'm so excited. Damn, I feel like a woman.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
More of Toucher and Rich.
Golf is never what you think it is.
On Boston's home for sports.
Some people just love to speak in emoji there, Fred.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Wallach had the idea that to check in on Sarge, who is lives with all his toys and everything, to make sure that he was doing okay. But the Sarge man is not answering the phones.
Oh, man.
They got to be bummed not going with the Kowloon crew to WrestleMania. That's their one big getaway a year. That is a got to be a massive disappointment for those guys.
Oh, sure. But I was wondering, because Joe Murray on Twitter has been, he's basically been a one-man advertising agency for one Kowloon. And I was wondering if I could, because it's in Saugus and I'm in Newton, I was wondering if there was a way that Kowloon would deliver to me. But then I was thinking, I'm missing the experience. Like, yeah, you got to go.
Absolutely. I agree.
The food's good, but I mean, if you're going to do, because you've never been there, right?
No.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's an experience restaurant. It's more than, it's the ambiance. It's, you know, it's like the scene in Goodfellas when they walk into the restaurant and you go through the back. Like, if you know Andy Wong, he's going to make it like a true experience.
You really need to be impressed by all the wrestling photos on the wall right at the, right when you walk in. It's quite impressive.
Yeah, I'm going to call, like, I'll get Joe Murray to put in a call to Andy Wong, the Wong father. And then I want to go through the kitchen. That's exactly what I want to do. And then I want to be in the pirate ship that I've heard so much about.
It's not a pirate ship. It is a very classy Chinese boat, I believe, or Asian boat. It is okay. A wonderful place to sit. I sat there with my family, and it was it's almost like being at the, like, sailing the seven seas.
So, seven seas of flavor.
Yep, mm-hmm.
Is that what's going on?
You know what it is? You go there and it's legitimate, great comfort food. Like, you just shove your face full with food. Like, it's one of those places where everything, there's tons of it, and you want to eat all of it.
Yeah, Joe Murray has been, sometimes he just posts like, Kowloon, we're delivering. And just, that's what he puts up there. And then he'll take pictures of Saugus wings and put them up there. But, yes, that is I thought of that, and then I thought, you know what, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to wait until this social distancing is over, and I'm going to go there, and I'm going to call everyone involved, and I'm just going to go there, and I want to be treated like a king. Mm-hmm. In fact, I want a king's crown when I go in there. That's what I want. So,
Wrestling belt. That's as good as wearing a crown when you go in there.
I have several, and it would just be difficult to pick out which wrestling belt I would like to wear.
You wouldn't be able to see from all the underwear being thrown at your face from the women in the restaurant.
Oh, sure. I mean, if I wear one of my real belts, yeah. I mean, women would be sliding off their chairs. It would be a whole scene of women. So,
how are you filling your time? You asked this about us. Like, what are you doing to make the day pass while you're quarantined?
Well, my son has taken up Doogie Howser, M.D. He's been watching Doogie Howser, M.D. My daughter has been watching Saved by the Bell. In fact, she's watching Saved by the Bell right now, and. And I went to bed at 7 last night.
God bless you. I'm so jealous. Oh, my God, that's awesome.
Yeah, so, sometimes sweet sleep is the only way to get through the day.
God. When does school start for the kids? Like, when do they have to start doing their stuff?
now, which is a lot of fun, which has been a constant. My son was a listener yesterday. He was like a troll on Twitter. He goes, "You only have to work 4 hours a day." And so I went, "Okay. Now, what have you been reading my tweets?" Like, he went full on that. No respect. It's very difficult. I need them back at school. It's driving me insane. My daughter's been fine, but my daughter has had no contact with other kids, so I've been completely responsible for her entertainment. So I go to the school and play around the world with her every day for an hour. So I got that going for me. See, my son can ride bikes. He's got people to ride bikes with. But me and my daughter, no. So that's how I'm spending my time. And I've been watching the documentary on the guy with the lions.
Oh, yeah, the Tiger King. Yeah, I watched the first episode last night. It's really good. I mean, it's made really, really well. It's well made.
Yeah.
And it's better than I thought it would be. And the characters, it's not just him. Like, his husband's the best.
Yeah.
He might be my favorite out of all of them.
But doesn't has it gotten to the point yet where you find out he's got, like, two dudes?
No, but I know that that's because I've read about the guy, obviously. I know that that happens. He's like a polygamist.
Yeah.
Like a polygamist gay lion tamer.
Yeah.
or tiger tamer, rather.
And then there's like another lady that has like, I'm like, again, I don't understand why you need tigers. Like, why you need to look at tigers. I for the life of me, can't figure it out. Like, just like go to Africa. Go look at the tigers in Africa if you want to see them so badly. I mean, where is he, in Oklahoma?
Yeah, he's in Oklahoma.
Yeah, that can't be good. That can't be healthy to have the lion, to have the tigers in Oklahoma. And then he brings them out to kids, like the baby tigers. What the hell is the point of that? Like, why does your kid have to hold a baby tiger? Just have him do something else. Have him go swim. I don't understand at all why these people need to see tigers.
Oh, Fred, I don't mean to interrupt, but you're going to love this. So we were talking about how yesterday Roger Goodell sent out this memo saying that they were going to be closing most of the facilities. And, John, I know you said that things like physicals for the upcoming draft were going to be difficult to do because of how this shutdown they're going to do.
Discontinued. All NFL-related things have been discontinued.
So the draft right now is scheduled, I think, to be the April 23rd to the 25th. Yep. Obviously, we love the draft. It's going to be something that you can still do, and you can do it. It's going to be televised, and it's all going to be the players are going to be Skyping and online. You don't have to do anything in person. It'd be very coronavirus friendly. However, here is something that apparently Adam Schefter just put out there as a proposal. He said, it sounds like that, you know, as you said earlier, John, the commissioner wants to continue to do the draft. However, he is saying that right now there is talk about making it a 7-night event with one round per night.
Good God.
Oh, God.
Come on.
Just milk that sucker for all it's worth, baby.
Who's watching the rounds 3 through 7? I mean, like, who's watching that? I mean, because they're going to stretch everything out.
Degenerate gamblers. That's
see, they don't understand that the internet exists. So I can go to sleep, wake up, find out who teams picked, and then click on their highlight reel, and then I know as much information as I'm ever going to know. And by the way, like the 6th and 7th round, they're not even talking about the picks anymore. They're still talking about the first day picks. You know what I'm saying? Like it just goes do-do-do-do, and then on the bottom, and then they barely talk about the players. So 7 nights?
Yeah.
The 7 nights of crap?
Yep, a round a night. And do you remember how they used to, like, when Gruden wasn't coaching and he was doing the draft and he was passive-aggressive towards everyone else on the panel, like, you only got him for the first 2 rounds. And then it was the B-League team that stepped up.
So Trey Wingo took over. I remember.
Trey Wingo, and then he knew there was nothing good happening.
That's right.
Right, once it's Wingo time, it was like, okay, well, I don't really care.
Yeah, once it's Wingo time. But, you know, Kuiper would hang in there. Kuiper McShay, I tell you what, is that if you knew what McShay made, I know someone who's involved with his business. If you knew what he made, you'd be pissed. It's a lot more than I thought it would be. So he, yeah, they, but they're year round. They're year round. But 7 nights of the draft, that's good, because I'm sure that it's going to be a ratings juggernaut. What's going to happen with these shows? I guess they're just gonna, there's going to be no new shows.
Oh yeah, I mean, a lot of them have been put on hold, and I know that a ton of movies have been put on hold. But the thing about the movies is that they're being backlogged because for the next couple months, no one's going to be releasing a lot of the major films. I mean, heck, the new Fast and the Furious movie got moved all the way to next year. I know that Fred, your favorite person in the world, the Gal Gadot, who made that awesome, inspiring Imagine video, her Wonder Woman movie has been moved back a month. It's now coming out in August. So there are, I mean, all that stuff, but you're right. The TV, at some point, like maybe in the like winter when all of these TV shows are filming or supposed to air, there's probably going to be a whole lot of Masked Singer for you and just a bunch of stuff that's like really quick to whip together. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because it seems like, because all the people on Instagram that are so pleased with themselves that they're, you know, working from home, yeah, like they're doing table reads like via the internet. So I don't know how they're going to get together and make an actual show. So I guess it's more Doogie Howser for me, which is not a good show, Doogie Howser.
I used to like it when I was a kid. That's one of those shows. It's one of the rare shows I did actually like when it was on.
Yeah. You liked Vinny? He was kind of a cut-up.
Vinny was like, he was kind of a tough guy. Wasn't he, to slick black hair?
I don't want to call him a tough guy because he was probably about 5'2". But I would I will say that, like, you know, he's like the Italian, like, he's a cut-up. You know, he's friends. He's the anti-Doogie. Doogie's the kid that, you know, has all the answers. He's a doctor. And then in comes Vinny to remind him, hey, you're just a kid. Come on. You got to loosen up sometimes. So I'll tell you, it's available. If you have Hulu, feel free to turn on Doogie Howser MD. It's sitting right there waiting for you. So, all right.
Did you hear we might be having on at 9?
I did hear. What award was it again?
What's that?
He's the one who won that award in college.
Oh,
right?
The Harlan Hill Trophy, yeah.
Yes, the Harlan Hill Trophy, yes.
Danny Woodhead of Harlan Hill Trophy fame.
Yes, indeed. Danny Woodhead could be joining us.
He's a good guy. He's actually a funny interview from everything I've heard. We've had him on a long time ago, but I believe that he's actually a pretty funny guy.
Harlan Hill Trophy. All right, we'll be back. Here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Let's do something crazy, crazy, crazy. Toucher.
We're going to need Advil for breakfast.
Rich.
First half hour, don't go to the bathroom because you have no idea what the hell's going on.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Go beats on the chat.
Move, bitch, you got coronavirus. Ooh, you got coronavirus. We ain't finna do with this coronavirus. I ain't finna take a trip with this coronavirus. Move, bitch, you got coronavirus. Ooh, you got coronavirus. We ain't finna do with this coronavirus. I ain't finna take a trip with this coronavirus.
I mean, that is straight from the Attorney General. Straight from the Surgeon General, like, bitches, I ain't fitting to mess with you. You got the coronavirus.
Have any of you guys tried to get any refunds for, like, spring break travel or anything you might have had planned? Have any of you guys been doing that and enjoyed that super fun encounter?
I did, but it was a couple weeks ago, and I did not get a refund for the hotel. We just had to reschedule it.
Okay.
So I did get a refund for the tickets, I think, but I'm not positive.
Nightmare. Like, some of the places, I'll give a couple of airlines credit. Like, I got through, and some of them said, all right, we'll just give you a refund. Although there was one that gave me a credit because they said, unfortunately, we can't give you your money back. And then my flight ended up being canceled after I had gotten the credit. And at that point, you're supposed to get a refund. Like, they owe you money. If they can't perform the service, then they owe you the money back. So I called them. They said, sorry, we've already given you the credit, so we can't give you money back.
What?
So I got screwed that way, and I talked to a bunch of people. But the other day, I was on hold with somebody, an airline, for an hour and a half, and they ended up hanging up on me after an hour and a half.
Oh, that's the
worst. Oh, I mean, it was infuriating. I was so mad that you ever been so mad that it doesn't even affect you? That like you just know that for self-preservation reasons, that your body just shuts down.
Yeah, that happens daily. I don't know what world you're in. That happens daily for me.
You hit a level of anger so high that your body doesn't even respond to it. Just like, yep. Yeah, angry.
No, I tend to act.
No.
I tend to go the opposite way.
And you know
the world that I'm angry.
And you know where you really get effed is like if you buy that stupid travel insurance. I never buy it, and I accidentally did. And there was this one place we were going to stay, on the weekend. We were going to go like skiing, and I was like, okay, so you have to kind of pay in advance. So I got the travel insurance. And so I called the place once they shut down everything. I was just in all the hotels, and I said, hey, can I get a refund? And they said, you know what? Usually we'd be able to do it, but you bought travel insurance, so you got to get it back through the travel company. Now, you have to understand, that means what they're saying is that we're still going to get paid because you bought the travel insurance. That's why we want you to do it through them. And I was like, are you sure? And he goes, yeah, once you've bought it, then you're kind of locked into them. I say, okay. So I call the travel insurance place, and it's one of these things where you have to go through 15 to 20 minutes worth of pressing buttons until they say, we are going to call you back, leave your number, and you'll get an automated callback. I've done that 3 times in the last week and have not received a callback. Now, while you do all this, you have to have your number, like your policy number, ready to go. And when you type it in, it says that they find it. And so I go to the website, and I say, all right, let's see where I can file a claim online. And it says, enter your policy number here. I type it in, and it says, cannot find policy. And I'm like, why are you kidding me? You told me that it exists. It's there. I literally copied and pasted it from the email that you sent me, and I can't get it through there. So that's another thing that's just, there's literally, it's a dead end. There's no one to talk to. All you have to do is sit there, and you're at the mercy of someone trying to call you back who has not called you back in an automated number. And everything there is so infuriatingly tough to navigate, whether it's the website or the emails that they send you. They sent me one email that said, click on this, because I emailed them. I said, click on this link to file a claim. There was no link. They literally sent me, said, click on this link, and there was no link attached. I'm like, you a-holes. So they do that just to screw you over. But this has been like one of those things where just every day after the show, for about 30 to 45 minutes, that's my job.
Why don't you just have Mary do it?
What's that?
Have Mary do it.
Are you kidding me? Mary? Well, first of all, Mary's working. Like, she's teaching a class online, which is a pain in the ass. And she's a student, so she's taking a class online. And she has 2 kids who are running around, who, thank goodness, we're kind of splitting the duties on that. But she's also getting them set up for school, which starts next week online. So, no, she's way busier than I am. So
see,
I've got to do all that.
I just have Stephanie do it all. I have no time for that. I would lose my mind. I would lose my mind. You wouldn't be able to live with me. I would go. If someone hung up on me after an hour and a half of waiting online on the phone, no, I would act out. I would act out, I don't know, for a half an hour. I would spaz out for a half an hour. Like No. Stephanie handles all that crap, like insurance. Like, when you have to, like, make claims for our wonderful insurance that we get at Beasley, the really good insurance, she handles all that because I'll go into a fit. Like, and anytime I have to stay on hold for something, I go into a fit. Yeah, it's not good. Have you tried to call a drugstore, by the way? They don't even give you a... a chance to even believe that they're going to pick up the telephone. They just, and then I'll go to the drugstore, and the pharmacy phone will be ringing, and it'll go like five lines, and they're not even looking at the phone.
Well, they're probably like super busy now. Like everyone's probably
Before all this. No, it's been empty actually. The pharmacy, because people aren't going out, and old people, like, you know, can't sit there and ask 1,000 questions about what Tylenol PM does, because obviously it's such a heavy drug that, you know, you could spiral into subconscious. You could spiral into an unconscious state if you took a pill that had Benadryl in it. But, yeah, so it's actually better now. But, yeah, I've sat on hold with a drugstore for 45 minutes, and then they hung up. Ugh. Like, yeah, 45 minutes. And I'm just, like, watching TV with it on speakerphone. But that happens to me. It's happened to me a few times.
Well, now it's one of those things where every time I finally get somebody and they want to transfer me or whatever, I always say, hey, real quick, write down my phone number in case we get disconnected. Here's my name. Here's my phone number. Like, I insist that they do that in case we get disconnected. But I mean, sometimes you get to the point where there's not even someone, you don't even speak to a real person while you're getting your refunds for all this, you know, all these things that you've, you know, for travel for the next couple months.
No, I mean, why would they? Why would they have a real person? I mean, the amount of money that you would have to dish out to get someone in India to answer the phone. I mean, I can totally understand the business model of being so cheap that you can't get a human being to answer the phone. I understand that completely. Why would you? I mean, it's customer service. I mean, who cares? I mean, you know, you're coming back. You're flying on the airline again. I don't know. I have my wife handle all that, or I'll throw a fit. I'll spaz out way too much. I can't handle that kind of stuff. All right, is Danny Woodhead? Do we have an idea? Oh, he's good for 9.
Nice.
He's good for 9 o'clock this morning, gentlemen.
Excellent. Yes. Excellent. What's he promoting?
I guess we'll find out.
Okay.
He does have a podcast. I'm getting the name of that, but
does he have the coronavirus?
There may be an update on that where he is self quarantining, so we could talk to him about that.
All right.
He may have just found out this morning.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
Can you get it through the phone?
No.
Are you asking me? No. I don't think so, no.
If you talk to him over the phone, it doesn't go through the phone?
No. Subliminally, no.
No. Okay. All right. So we'll talk to Danny Woodhead. Plus, we'll have more of our bracket coming up in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Who is Milo's favorite player?
Free Rollins.
Boston sports fans start their day with Tucker and Rich.
Oh, Fred, too much.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We are Tucker and Rich. Let me tell you that we are all in this together. 98.5, the Sports Hub and Beasley Media Group is committed to serving our community and helping local businesses. If you're a business owner facing difficulty, attend a free 30-minute webinar called Crisis Management for Local Businesses, presented by Beasley Media Group, full of actionable insights, timely advice, and relevant data. Critical data points to enable your business not to only endure these difficulties, but emerge stronger when they're over. To register, go to 98.5thesportshub.com and search for Crisis Management for Local Businesses. And thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you, good people.
Yeah. I don't know if you realize this, Fred, but Dan O'Brien, who of course makes our producer, who makes frequent trips or has made frequent trips to the scenic Lord of Florida.
Yes, sir.
Basically, the what is that like? The it's kind of like the anus of Florida, right? It's somewhere
absolutely Florida.
Not a lot going on.
Florida without the F, and you get there, and that's the first thing you say.
All right, is that in Okeechobee County by any chance?
You go through beautiful Okeechobee County to get there, Rich.
Okay, well, if you kind of want to know,
it's in Highlands County. Florida, Florida.
Well, I mean, listen, that's kind of Highlands County. They've got the Highlands County Community College, right?
Do they?
Yeah, I think that's like the MIT of Florida.
Oh,
if I'm not mistaken.
Okeechobee County goes out through like Belglade and one of, you know, wonderful places like that.
Of course, of course. Now, I don't know if by any chance while you were down there, you saw any of the signs when they were doing their elections, but there was a guy who was running for county commissioner who ended up winning. His name was Bryant Culpepper. And, you know, just like everybody else in the country, everyone's discussing at town meetings how to deal with the coronavirus and what kind of steps they should take. Well, this gentleman, County Commissioner Bryant Culpepper from Okeechobee County, had an idea of how you could combat this. And I have the audio. This is from one of their actual town meetings that they had. He's a person in power and had this to say.
Kind of silly, but being in the medical field that I was as a paramedic, it started to make a lot of sense. One of the things that was pointed out in this interview with one of the doctors, foremost doctors that has studied the coronavirus, says that the nasal passages and the nasal membranes are the coolest part of the body. That's why the virus tends to go there until it then becomes healthy enough to go into the lungs. This sounds really goofy, and it did to me too, but it works. Once the temperature reaches 136 degrees Fahrenheit, the virus falls apart and just disintegrates, okay? And I said, well, how would you get the temperature up to 132 degrees? The answer was you use a blow dryer because it's capable of doing that. So you hold a blow dryer in front of your face and you inhale with your nose and it kills all the viruses in your nose.
Okay.
First of all, the coolest part of your body are your thumbs. So,
hey.
I mean, first of all, you're wrong there.
Oh,
science has proved if you stick both thumbs up, I mean, that's by far the coolest part of your body. And second of all, I've been using hair dryers to cure everything. You know, at one point, I had a terrible, terrible, terrible foot fungus, and I just used a blow dryer on my nose. And then miraculously it went away. I like how this guy was in the medical field too. Like, what did you do? Make the robes?
He said he was very, so somebody, by the way, followed up like in the full clip. I've watched the entire thing. It's great.
I've seen that too. Yeah,
because they look like okay, and they kind of start questioning it, and the guy goes, no. Listen, I would have thought it was crazy too if I didn't find it from a real credible source. It's this TV network called like OANN, and it's basically the next Fox News. And they had an interview with this expert in the medical field. And what's fantastic about all this is that this clip got out and about on the internet, OANN said, we never said anything like this. I don't know where this is coming from or what he thought he heard anywhere, but OAN, we didn't hear anything like that.
Did you see the clip where like the hot chick was at the Trump press conference?
I've watched every single one of them, yes. So I saw her.
She's from OAN. Yes. Yeah, right. She's from OAN. So I wouldn't believe anything OAN says, and I wouldn't put it past him to say that you have to put
a hair dryer up your nose to kill the coronavirus. It's been confirmed it kills the coronavirus.
Well, it's been confirmed that it's the coldest, the coolest place in your body. I mean, everyone knows that. I mean, it's. I mean, if you pick your nose, you're getting frostbite. God, people are stupid.
I mean, it's like just Florida, just saw it off and put it into the ocean. Save Disney World, and Dom Petty's dead, so you don't got to worry about him anymore. And then that's pretty much it. Just let it float out there for everyone else.
They took a utopia. They took somewhere that could have been utopia, and they just smeared it with diarrhea.
Like, that's how Florida. I feel when I go there. Yeah.
I don't even. I went to college in Central Florida.
I know, and I lived there, but that was many years ago. You're right.
And I didn't mind it. Like Central Florida, where I was around Orlando, had a bunch of lakes, and it was nice. But, I mean, I guess if you go 30 miles outside of there, you're just
Try two hours outside of that, Fred. If I went to Orlando, it would be like a 2.5 hour drive straight south.
You're dealing with some terrible crap there.
I mean, but at least some real talent came from Florida. Mr. Worldwide to
infinity. Hell yeah. You know the roof of fire. We go boogie, 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 jiggle, wiggle, and dance.
Like a roof of fire. We go drink drinks and take shots until we fall out. I'll do the roof of fire. Is Dwalk trying to run around the room now? This jogging mix.
Right.
What are you, John?
Okay, I've said it too many times. I've said it too many times. Does he even make music anymore?
Oh yeah.
Or does he just stand around doing like Walmart commercials?
He's got a new country crossover because Old Town Road is the big thing now.
Oh,
he's like, wow. Well, there's money to be made here.
Oh, he's just the worst.
It's like him in Florida Georgia Line, I think, which is basically the creed of country music.
Right. Of course it is. Of course that's what he's doing. If you would have given me three guesses, I would have guessed that he's doing a country thing.
And it's got like Black Betty, I think, is the what he's doing and part of it. I think it's Black Betty is the song they're ripping off, but then it's got a country guy.
Oh, good. Yeah. So they make no money on it. That's it. If you get a chance, Google Nick Kroll Pitbull.
Shelton. That's who's with.
Yeah. Blake Shelton, good. Who's listening to this and going like, you know what? This is good. I'll tell you what, no one has more integrity than Pitbull.
The king of integrity.
The king of integrity, that's right. All right. He's just not an ounce of talent. All right. We will have no commercials here, just the headlines, and we're going to talk to Danny Woodhead.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
There's a disagreement here in studio.
How unusual.
I'll tell you what, it's what makes us different that makes us great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
First and goal to go at the one. Brady, handoff, Woodhead left. Touchdown! Pats have come all the way back.
Unicorns, show ponies, it's time to get crazy. We're getting loopy in Foxborough, and the nut jobs that have stayed love every minute of it. That's right.
Holy cow. 92-yard drive.
Boom!
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And
by the way, real quick, that's a unicorn show ponies pre-Bob Sosi.
Was he on the sideline or in the booth?
That's sideline, though.
Yeah.
So that might be technically the first unicorns and show ponies.
Well,
that
someone
Zolak
get that
ever
in
called.
Someone get in the Broadcasting Hall of Fame. Post haste.
You're going to have to.
Replace what's... If you ever saw Danny Woodhead play in the NFL, did you find out that he won the Harlan Hill Trophy?
I wonder if Danny's even sick of hearing that, because every broadcast they would have to mention that he won the Harlan Hill Trophy. Almost
twice.
Became a drinking
not
game
once,
after a while.
Not once, but twice he won the Harlan Hill Trophy.
I'm telling
you,
it was the
best player in Division II football.
It was almost as if it was a requirement that everyone had to mention it. And at some point, you know, it's like game 15, and you're like, all right, we get it. We understand that we heard this game's 1 through 14, that he had won the Harlan Hill Trophy. It must be something. It's like, Jesus, anybody know anything else about me other than they keep mentioning this?
Well, I know quite a bit because I have a one sheet in front of me. He has a podcast called Out of Nowhere. It is Mr. Danny Woodhead. Hello, sir.
Hey, what's up, guys? You know, the whole Harlan Hill deal, mm-hmm. those two trophies, they're in my kid's room, and they're like a chair. I mean, the football on top, you can unscrew it. They either hang their medals on it or they sit down. When I took it home, when I initially won it, my parents were redoing their house, and it became a video game chair. So, I mean, it's really whatever. You call it the Harlan Hill, you call it the Harlan Seat, the Harlan Throne, and I don't care. You call it what you want. I don't really care too much about that.
The way they talked about it, Danny, you would think that you wore it around your neck like Flavor Flav. Well, because it was the thing that defined you. And I'm like, he's like a really important part of this Patriots team, and you keep mentioning something he won years ago.
Yeah,
it was,
like you were
became
good.
Absurd.
You were good in the NFL.
Hey, guys, that's the thing, though, is – That's a cardinal sin in the Bill Belichick organization is to talk about the past anyways.
Good
right?
point.
It's what you can do now. I don't know if either any of you guys have talked to me. I can't remember it's been a long time since I've been in New England, but the interview or the conversation you're getting today is drastically different than it was when I was in New England.
Did somebody pull you aside? Because you came from the Jets, which is obviously a fairly loose organization, especially when you were there. So did somebody from the Patriots pull you aside and go, all right, Danny, if you want to survive here and you don't want to get killed at the morning meeting, here's how you act. Was there ever that speech that you got?
No. The thing is, as you guys cringe as I mentioned his name, I was actually – my first year was with Eric Mangini.
Oh, yeah.
So it was very similar to the New England regime. So I kind of had been dunked underwater with that already. And I knew – so, I mean, I just wanted a job, guys. So then when New England signed me, I'm like, well, I guess we're going back to that. But, hey, I got a job. I know what to do. Stay as small as you can, which isn't very hard for me, but stay as small as you can. Don't say anything. And even after, I mean, a game we won and stuff, like, I'm like, yeah, I'm just trying to get better for tomorrow. It's like the game just got over. You can talk about the game a little bit, but I was, like, so terrified that I didn't really say much.
Now, when you went from Mangini to Belichick, because the big joke around here was that, boy, did Mangini try to be Bill Belichick and mimic his mannerisms and the way that he would speak.
Right.
And like, and what's weird is that once Mangini started getting away from football and doing like commentary on TV, he seemed like a pretty like nice guy and like well-spoken and kind of funny. But like when you went from Mangini to Belichick, did you go, oh, now I see what Belichick Light was trying to do over here in New York?
Yeah, I think that's very similar. Eric's an incredible dude, actually. I know there's some bad things, bad experiences in the past between those two organizations. But as far as on a personal level, Eric's a great dude and really one of the better coaches I've ever been around. As far as a mind for the game, obviously you have Bill up there and you have Josh McDaniels and there's a couple other Frank Reich and Indy. There's a lot of really good coaches that I've been able to be around. But, yeah, I would say that's probably what some of the, you know, former Patriots coaches, they may run into, because it's in order to be Bill, you have to have Bill's resume. And I think that's a tough thing sometimes if guys try to be too much like Bill. There's always going to – if I were to be a coach, which I'm not, I mean, we're on the air, but we're not talking about me ever being a coach because I don't want to. But if I ever were – there's a lot of things I would take from Bill, but I'd also be my own person because I couldn't be Bill. Not only do I not have that resume as a coach, but I also, that's not my personality. So why do it?
Yeah. You can't get away with that. Like, because it's such a, you think of these young coaches, they're all players coaches. Like he's almost like the opposite of that when you first meet him and his personality. But because he's got all of that hardware, you're like, all right, well, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt because obviously this works. But can you imagine? You see this happen even with guys like, you know, Matt Patricia. He kind of tried to be that way in Detroit. And there was a lot of pushback at first. Now, I don't know whether that's going to work out or not. But I think a lot of these guys learn after a tough first year, dude, I got to step back a little bit. I can't be 100% Belichick, maybe 30% Belichick and 70% me.
Well, and I think the thing is, more than anything, is even if they're not going to be like Bill, I don't know if a leash is the right word, but the leash that the GM has to have on them needs to be a little bit longer, because there is going to be a culture shock regardless. Because if you're in New England and then you go somewhere else and you see how things have been completely wrong in your eyes, it's going to be a while before some people buy in. It might be a year or two. Last year, do I think the Lions would have been significantly different if Matt Stafford would have been healthy? Yeah, they might have been a playoff team. So yeah. It's a little bit hard to judge on Matty P. Matty P is a great dude. I've heard some things down there, obviously, that come out in the media that you're like, oh man, that kind of stinks. That's how it's going. But who knows? I mean, all of those coaches can talk after their first job, or hopefully it's their only job. But and they could say, did I go too much, Bill, or did I go not enough? I look at Billy O down in Houston. Everyone's criticizing him, but let's be frank and honest with ourselves. If you're a NFL owner, you're having your chest just puffed out if you've been to the playoffs that many times.
Well, Danny, we have Ted Johnson in studio, who was a linebacker for the team for many years. And his theory is that Gronkowski might have played longer if he had more fun. Like, he got just sick of – I don't know, injuries are a big factor, but he right. got sick of Bill Belichick. And then you hear Tom Brady and people saying about how much fun he's going to have playing for Bruce Arians, because Bruce Arians is a player's coach. Is that something that playing for the Patriots, that it just, like, wasn't fun, and you could see wanting to play for a different organization?
I'm not really sure, because I was only there for 3 years, guys. I mean, everyone thinks I was there for like 20, but I was only there for 3 years. And I was in a time where I'm just trying to make the team head down. Don't talk to anyone. I mean, I have great relationships with everyone there. Still coaches though. But my focus was trying to make the team. So like, I was in such a different headspace then. Yeah. Whereas when I got to San Diego, I don't want to say established myself, because I don't want to ever say I arrived, but I was definitely more established. I had more of a voice. So it was a completely just different environment for me personally, not San Diego versus New England, but I would say just me and my mental headspace, as far as like, okay, like people like respect what I've done now. Yeah. Could that be a deal with Gronk or Tom? Sure, I think it could be that anywhere you play 20 years. Gronk's is a little different, not as long as Tom, that maybe you want to try something new. I don't know, but I follow the Pats still. They'd probably be my favorite team. And the thing is, like, I have no, like, there's nothing in me that's, like, mad at Tom. If anything, it's like, go do what you got to do. Like, when I played in the league, there was nothing. People are like, man, don't you wish you had played for one jersey? And I'm like, I don't know. I played for four. And I had a lot of fun, and I got to see the country. So mine's a little different. My legacy is not really important like Tom's. but as far as his legacy, he's still going to be known as a Patriot, regardless if he went down and won two Super Bowls in Tampa. Like, it doesn't matter. No one's going to ever take anything away from that. So, I don't know. It's an interesting deal.
When did you know you were in his circle of trust? Because, I mean, there's a lot of talk about if Brady doesn't connect with you, you're out. But if you're one of his favorites, which obviously he was a big fan of yours, you know, you're somebody who's going to get fed the ball constantly. When did you know that Brady is, you know, that he's brought you into his circle?
I would have said anywhere from the first 2 to 4 games. The first week, I thought he hated me more than anyone in the world. I think that was probably him trying to test me. And I just, anyone
like,
that knows
why do you
me
think
is
that?
Like,
did he say things to you, or was he?
I mean,
like,
he'd be bleeding? Yelling at me like for most obnoxious thing in the world, and I didn't like respond, but I didn't really take it either. I don't want to say I was some macho dude, but I just really wasn't intimidated. It's like, bro, I've been fired already. You're not going to scare me. Like, what if I get fired again? Like, okay, then I'll move on. You know? So, like, And then I'm a super competitive person. I mean, ask Philip Rivers. Philip and I got caught one time, had to get separated by one of our linemen fighting on the field. So I think he respected that about me, that I was super competitive and I wasn't really going to listen to a bunch of crap. Mm-hmm. And I think probably some of it had to do with just me being fired already. And it's like, you know what? I'm going to do everything I can to be successful. And if you're going to be mad at me or whatever, like, I don't really care.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still going to do everything I can to help this team win. So I think that that maybe helped me get in quicker. But also I think the fact that I was able to, first 2 weeks I had touchdowns and was able to pick up the no huddle offense, being there for 3 days. And I think after that, I think he may have respected me a little bit.
Okay. Well, I mean, the respect is good, but were you there? Yeah, you were right there in the early days of the Julian Edelman fascination with Tom Brady. You know that's obviously...
Oh, yes. Blast.
Okay.
Oh, God,
so tell me about the early days of the one-way bromance of Julian Edelman to Tom Brady.
Well, you know what the thing is? Tom's great with everyone. So, I mean, it did help probably there. He was Northern California, but, you know, everyone wants to make fun of the bromance, but it's like, it's so understandable because Julian at that point hadn't, besides that, his rookie year when Wes was hurt, really hadn't had opportunities. So it's like, he's doing everything he can to get trust from the quarterback, which, man, when I went to San Diego, who's the first guy I went and talked to? Philip Rivers. Mm-hmm. Because I was the same way. So I was like, I'm getting on the same page with this guy. Because
yeah, but
if
Danny,
I'm not,
you didn't change your haircut to look like Philip Rivers' haircut
when you got there.
I mean, Julian Edelman takes it to a new level, right?
Well, he makes Tom Brady shirts.
I just didn't love Philip's hair, you know? Otherwise, I would. Everyone knew that he was, but it's so understandable because in this league, you go as the quarterback goes. If the quarterback's happy with you, at least in the really good organizations, then you're in a good place because you want to be on the same page. Like, I think Phil probably at the first part didn't know, like, what to think of me. I'm like, hey, like what if I do this and I shorten my route by a yard, but I get to the same spot? Is that okay? Well, in some offenses, it's not okay. But I'll take you back to, and this is probably what made me like this, is I remember Tom one time, we were talking about a certain route, and I was like, well, it's a sit route. I can't move, and if it's man-to-man, how do I get open? And he looked at me, he said, well, he said, if you're not open, you're no help to me. He said, you're not getting the ball, and you're not going to help me. So after that, Danny, this little Danny Woodhead, started running routes a little bit differently and said, just get open. And so because of that, I wanted to be on the same page with Tom. So I wanted to be on the same page with Phil. So I totally understand what Jules was doing is he's just like, man, if I ever want to, you know, continue like and have a huge career, I need to get on the same page with 12.
Yeah, well, but it was kind of almost like that cartoon dog, like, hey, Spike, what are we going to do now? Spike, what are we doing? Spike, it kind of evolved into something a little more extreme than just getting on the same
after
page.
After you left the team, people became...
Next level, man.
Other players that were on the team speak very sarcastically about the
Ninkovich
relationship.
Ninkovich talks about it. Welker talks about how they were making fun of him because he made his own JE11 logo after Tom Brady's TB12. I mean, it went next level, Danny. You obviously
my guess, though, I will say this. Knowing Jules, I feel like the JE11 might have been to make fun of Tom and not be Tom's Brady or Tom's branding type deal. If I know Jules how I know Jules, that's my guess. But he's made some money off it, so who cares?
Right? He has. No, that you can't deny that.
And he made millions of dollars off of this bromance, so I mean, I get it.
Now it's over. Now, Danny, are you in quarantine right now?
Well, I'm in quarantine right now because we left the state, and the rule, not the rule, but I know a lot of like employers, they're saying, hey, if you leave the state, when you get back, just like don't do anything for 14 days. And so we're kind of in that mode right now. We're over a week in, but I mean, we have four kids. We can still go for walks, stuff like that. I, fortunately have some stuff in the backyard we can do. And man, so yeah, we are, but I think we'd be in some sort of quarantine anyways. Just kind of try to be careful. My parents are 60. My grandparents are 80. And if somehow we were carrying something, I don't know if I'd be able to forgive myself if somehow that happened. It's kind of weird. Like you mentioned, I podcast now with Matt Slauson. He's a former 10-year NFL lineman. Well, thank goodness we have some recordings, because 2 weeks out, that kind of would limit you. But so yeah, I'll get back into that. I've stayed busy with the podcast game. Not a lot of people probably know, because I haven't really promoted it, because I just want people to enjoy it, enjoy the content. It's called Out of Nowhere. We basically sit down and chill, have guests on, kind of interview them, kind of just have a conversation with them, because, I mean, we're not very good at interviewing people. We're better with talking crap and laughing about things. So we have people on, we joke around, we hear their story that's out of nowhere, because let's be honest, fellas, my story's out of nowhere, in the middle of small town Nebraska. And Slauson's is kind of the same thing. He went to a prep school, Air Force prep school. Same deal. He did go to Nebraska, but as he says, is he's just a really, really huge human being that had no athletic ability. And so we're all out of nowhere, and then our conversations go from anywhere and everywhere. I mean, we started talking about diapers one day, and we went off for 10 minutes. So it's just fun. I mean, we like to enjoy ourselves live. You guys seem to have a lot of fun on your show.
Sure, sure. And although right now it's a tiny bit of hell after the show's done, because just like you, we're at our homes. And I had read about you. So you were homeschooled till you were in ninth grade, right? Did I read that correctly?
Heck yeah, man.
Okay,
bro,
how do you deal with that?
I social distance myself big time.
How do you give me some advice? Because our kids, obviously, they can't leave, and they're going to be doing stuff like on the internet, talking to people.
Right.
But how do you... Can you kind of give me a tip from that time, maybe your parents, a way that they figured out not to go insane with the kids constantly around the house?
Well, first of all, let me tell you this. Your kids are going to hate you, and you're going to hate your kids. that's just standard. So when you can get over that, then you guys both recognize that. Okay, you can start, you know, loving on each other a little bit more. But you know, the biggest thing, it was the greatest time of my life. People are like, do you wish you would have went to school? And I don't, because now looking back, it's a lot easier now. But looking back, I have a great relationship with my parents. I have incredible relationships with my siblings, where I'm talking to them every day.
Yeah.
Now, is it more important than my immediate family, my wife and my kids? No. But I still have a great relationship with them. And as far as the educational stuff, I mean, man, it was kindergarten through eighth grade. It's not college. It's not med school.
Right.
As long as you can run into a few things in math, but my dad taught me math, and he was good at math. So we didn't run into any problems with that. My brother is an orthopedic surgeon now, so I think he's okay. My little sister is a stay-at-home mom, but she was a cosmetologist. My little brother is a medical sales rep. So obviously we did okay. So if I'm going to give you any advice, mm-hmm. and this may sound crazy, is enjoy it, because there's going to be a time when those kids don't want to be around you, you know, and it still
that's
might
already
even
happened to me.
Yeah. I was gonna say, it's kind of probably happening already.
Sure.
But like, we
and
have,
by the way, sixth grade to my son, it might as well be medical school.
But my oldest, like, there's plenty of days. We have four. So, like, me and my wife are looking at each other and we're like, what the heck is going on? Just yesterday I looked at my wife, I go, now I get why my mom was crazy. I get why my mom was going crazy. Because
sure. It
is hard, but the thing that I have to keep telling myself is, you know what, 5-6 years from now, this is not, they're not going to want to be around me as much. And if people talk about Y2K, you remember where you were, you remember everything, or 9/11, or like all these huge times in the history of our country, mm-hmm. you remember where you're at. And I read this thing on Twitter. If people are going to talk to you about what do you remember about the coronavirus? Well, what I'm going to remember is like, crap, there's a lot of people that died that shouldn't have died or whatever it may be. We think of that. Well, if we're talking to our kids 20 years from now, what are they going to talk about? They're going to be like, oh, that was the time that we were trapped in our house with our mom and dad.
Right. It's like a big snow day. It's like a month. Exactly. It's several months long snow day. Right.
Right. And they can say, man, that was the best time of my life or of my childhood. Or they can say, man, my parents really weren't present and I was, you know, I wasn't doing anything. So I'm just trying to take advantage of it. Do I fail miserably at times? Yeah, I do. And I'm okay with that, but I'm going to get up and try to be the best I can be the next day. So, I don't know. That's my whole spiel on this whole quarantine is I'm going to try to take advantage of it. It sucks because I'm not golfing right now, but I get to be around my kids, so that's cool.
All right, Danny Woodhead, thank you so much for the time. The podcast is called Out of Nowhere, and you'll be able to find that. And we appreciate your time so much. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, guys. If you have any questions on it, just look for the picture with me in short jean shorts. And that's our cover. So, cool. I think that sold it right there, guys.
Cool. Listen, done and done, my friend.
You obviously played a little too close to Rhode Island when you were here.
My daughter was born there, so.
So she basically came out in jean shorts. Like, out of the womb.
Okay. Yeah, she was wearing jean shorts.
All right, Danny. Thanks for coming on, man.
And thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
That's it. All right, there you go. It was great. So you still want to do the thing?
No, hold on to it because we just killed a ton of time there. That was a long interview, so we'll hold on to it.
Yes, that's right. All right, so let's come back with the stack. What do you want to talk about?
Oh, how about there's all these different entertainers are figuring out ways to entertain you online. We've got a whole stack of things to talk about there. No, some of these are pretty good. Some of these are legitimate. There's bands who are releasing things that they've been holding on to for a while. On top of that, we are going to get into some of the strangeness with Tom Brady down in Florida that's already coming out.
All right, so we will have all that for you in just a moment.
Toucher and Rich.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
There's a disagreement here in studio.
How unusual.
I tell you what, it's what makes us different that makes us great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
First and goal to go at the one. Brady, handoff, Woodhead left. Touchdown! Pats him, come all the way back.
Unicorns, show ponies, it's time to get crazy. We're getting loopy in Foxborough, and the nut jobs that have stayed. Love every minute of it. That's right.
Holy cow. 92-yard drive.
Boom!
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And
by the way, real quick, that's a unicorn show ponies pre-Bob Sosi.
Was he on the sideline or in the booth?
That's sideline, though.
Yeah.
So that might be technically the first unicorns and show ponies that Zolak ever called.
Someone get in the Broadcasting Hall of Fame post haste.
You're going to have to.
Replace what's hey, if you ever saw Danny Woodhead play in the NFL, did you find out that he won the Harlan Hill Trophy?
I wonder if Danny's even sick of
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.